1 Peter 2:9, as we open up the scriptures here tonight. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. And so, church, are you proclaiming the praises of him? That's what we should be doing. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And so we said, what is praise? Praise is celebrating God as our heart's true home. Celebrating God as our heart's true home. It is 1 Chronicles 29:20. It says, then David said to the whole assembly, give praise to the Lord. Now, again, we say that's what we are to be doing. Giving praise to who? To the Lord, because he's worthy to be praised. The Lord God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ are worthy to be praised. Give praise to the Lord your God, an entire assembly, and the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the King. So praise includes, number one, we said commending. Number two, expressing approval or favorable judgment of. Expressing approval or a favorable judgment of. Number three, glorifying. What is praise? Commending, expressing approval or a favorable judgment of, and glorifying, especially crediting with perfections. You're crediting the good things and the godly things that occur in your life to him and him alone. Praise by commendation, we said, applies the promises of God to our personal circumstances. It applies the promises of God to our personal circumstances. Praise by approving is turning our thoughts toward God and remembering how he has won our acclaim and adoration. How he has won our acclaim and adoration. It is reciting the wonder of who he is and how he has made a difference in our life and in the life of others. Amen. Isn't that good? Praising God by glorifying is him, is simply recognizing and testifying to all these admirable qualities of God. To all these admirable qualities of God. So as we honor God for who he is and for what he has done in our lives, we make room. Now, you need to get that. You make room for him to work for us and in us every day and in every way. Isn't that good? Yes. And so when are we to praise God? So we answered that question in our second lesson. These are all on our website or our YouTube channel and our history archives. So you can look them up and listen to them again, watch them. Pray Psalms 34, 1 and 3. It says, I will bless the Lord at all, what? Times. His praise shall continually be in what? My mouth. Now, it didn't say the world's pouting. It didn't say the worldly profanity. It says his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So that's a decision that he made up front. And you got to remember, in this time frame, David was facing what we would call many fears. He was facing enemies, adversaries, afflictions, things that cause you and me, in the natural sense, to get afraid, to get anxious, to get worried. And in the face of fear, he made a decision and said, I will, what? Bless the Lord. That's a choice. So praise starts with the will. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Look at this, verse 2. My life makes its boast in the Lord. In other words, it starts with the will, and then it touches your emotions. Some people want the emotions first, but the choice And the will has to be first. So it's a quality decision that I will bless the Lord, and then it flows to our emotions. Our most boast in the Lord, the humble and afflicted shall hear and be glad. In other words, it flows from our emotions and spills over onto others. Some people are waiting for the right song or waiting for the right crowd to get into a praise mood. But you have to make a choice to rejoice. You have to make a choice, a firm, decided choice to say, I will praise, bless the Lord at what? All times. Amen. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And again, he's not making it unclear for us, because sometimes people seem like they're unclear because they exalt other things. They are always exalting. I mean, if you get some of these news updates, they're always exalting the problems and the things, the predicaments and the things that go on in our world. And they will fill you with negativity. They will fill you with noise that is a nuisance to your faith and focus. Amen. So we have to magnify the Lord. What does that mean? Make him bigger, because he is bigger. Make him better. Give him better attention, because he deserves the best attention. Than anything and everything that's bothering you, that's bugging you, that's burdening you. Oh, magnify the Lord. Just scientifically, when you magnify something, you enlarge it. You expand it. You expound on it. So when you magnify the Lord, you make him bigger. You make him better. You make him the best thing that ever is, was, and is to come, because he is. Amen. Hallelujah. And let us exalt his name together. Praise is to be, friends, an everyday part of your life. No matter what's happening, whether you're having a low moments or high moments, your focus is to stay on God. What's your focus? Stay on God. Turn around someone next to you. Turn to someone next to you if you're watching online with someone and say, your focus is to stay on God. So in other words, we don't wait until church on Sunday or Wednesday night before you praise God. Amen. And I always ask this question sometimes. What does your praise debt look like? Do you owe God praise? From this morning, yesterday, Tuesday, yesterday, the day before that, Monday. Hallelujah. So we wait sometimes until the worship service to start our praise and worship. But we come to the worship service with, we are to come to the worship service with, everybody say with. What are two things you come with? Praise and thanksgiving. Where are they? Where are they? In your heart. You come to the worship service with praise and thanksgiving in your heart. Make a faith effort not to just come to church with your bad feelings or your frustrations and wait for someone to make you feel better. This means this. When, before you get to church, you're supposed to be praising God. In other words, we all should be praying for the service and praising God in advance of getting to the service. Amen. Amen. In faith, not based on how you feel, and for and about this upcoming church service. And so we come in with our heart filled with what? Praise. Somebody's going to make that praise meter so we can have it out there. So we can have a praise meter that says, hey, my heart's empty. If your heart's empty of praise, then it's going to be difficult for you to get engaged in corporate worship and praise. Because as they say in the colloquial urban vernacular, you got too much junk in your trunk. And so you have a lot of stuff in your heart that's burdening your heart, bothering your heart. Amen. Blocking your praise. Don't let the devil and don't let bad circumstances take your praise. Don't let the devil take your shout of praise. Hallelujah. So how are we to praise God? We talked about that last week. As born-again believers and Christ followers, we are to be the concert and not just attend one. I know some of you have. I don't think I ever have in my lifetime, other than one in church, attended a concert. But, you know, people who are fans, they purchase tickets. They plan. They get dressed up. Come on now. They get focused to get in there and enjoy that stage performance by that whoever. So they attend one. But see, in church, you're not just to attend one, you are to be one and be a part of one. Like we said before, you don't just listen to music. You are to be the music and the melody to the Lord. Amen. All right. So in other words, we're to be and become the voice and vessel of praise and worship and not just come to church just to look and listen to praise and worship. Amen. So as our brother who opened up, Brother Steve, said, we're not coming to just spectate. We have to come to participate. He said, well, I'm not scheduled to do anything. I'm not on the praise and worship team. You're not coming to spectate. Amen. You're coming to participate. Somebody say, glory to God. So praise, friends, we said, is how we make room for God in our lives. Praise is how we make room for God in our life. Corporate praise is how we make room for God to move and manifest in our church service. Now, if you studied a little bit of church history, you find when God moved, it was usually through prayer and through praise. Amen. God, praising God has many forms. We gave you 10 last week. I'll just kind of review a few couple of them. All of which have a common denominator. These all forms of praise have a common denominator. Praise is always extroverted. That means it's always seen and heard. Amen. You can't do this. You know, first Frozen Chosen does this. Amen. And they say, I'm praising God. What? How? Mental telepathy? Bow your head in silence? Praise is always extroverted. Means it can be seen and it can be heard. There's no such thing as silent praise. I know some people, when you go to bow your heads for a moment of silence, you know, go someplace where they want to honor or recognize someone who has been fallen or some tragic situation. You know, God isn't hard of hearing. Neither is he nervous. He doesn't mind you being loud. But he said, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come on now. Amen. That means God likes noise. Amen. We might not like noise around the house, but God likes noise. I'm just saying, you're going to have to get some really good earmuffs when you go to heaven if you don't like loudness and noise. Praise requires, we said, has a faith effort on our part. Faith has nothing to do with our feelings. It has everything to do with our decision to believe and trust God to do it. Amen. And act on it. Amen. Some people are uncomfortable during praise service. Why? Because they think they're too dignified to celebrate God. And how do we celebrate God? As we said last week, we celebrate God with abandon. Amen. That means we have to abandon our bad mood. We have to abandon our bad attitude. We have to abandon how we feel. We have to abandon perhaps frustrations that occurred between the other times you praise God or during the day when you come to church. You have to abandon all your self-centeredness and pride. Because praising is an act of humility. It's an act of honor. It is a posture of holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the absence or the presence of passion for God within us is just naturally becomes evident in our expressions of love. See, when you have passion for God inside of you, you express it through your loving God, your adoration, and your appreciation for God. So you will give thanks. You will just express love. You'll express adoration. Now, here's some biblical forms that we talked about last week. Singing. Psalms 130, verse 4. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Does that exclude anybody? He said, sing to the Lord, all you godly ones, all of us. So when's the last time you sung to who? To the Lord. Praise his holy name. We got to get better at singing. Amen. Because the Father likes it when we sing. As a matter of fact, if you study history in Azusa Street, Daddy Seymour, William Daddy Seymour, who was a guy that, you know, he wore the box card over his head, but they had the outpouring of the Pentecostal revival in America that touched the world. He said every time we would start praying, it would be fine. But when we start singing and praising God, he said the glory of God would get thicker. It would get more stronger. It will be more powerful and bright in the room. And the fire of God would fall. Come on now. And they said that many people would call the fire department and say, that building's on fire. That building's on fire. No, the God had came down. And see, our God is a consuming fire. That means that whole building was lit up with God. It looked like it was on fire, but God was there. What do? When we praise God, we invite him into our lives. Praise God. Then they're shouting. Psalms 98, verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. All right? So sometimes you need to break forth in song, in rejoice. You can break forth with rejoicing. You can break forth and sing praises. He didn't say break down. He said break forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Making a joyful noise is another example of how we praise God so it can be seen and heard. So Psalm 66:8 says, oh, bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be what? So when Paul and Silas were in that jail, that Philippian jail, at midnight, they prayed, and then the Bible says they sang praises. And it says the prisoners didn't overhear them. They weren't going, shh, 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 keep it down, keep it down. No, their backs were bleeding. They were beaten. They were put in stocks. They were in the sewer cell. The dungeon part of the prison. They were in the worst part of the prison, but they prayed and they sang praises. And it says the prisoners heard them. That means everybody in the jail was hearing them sing and praise God. Hallelujah. And of course it was at midnight. It was symbolic of the worst time and the worst moments of our lives, of our days. See, there's no excuse. There's no exemption. There's no explanation that we can give to exempt us from praising him. Amen. Laughter. Job 8:21. Yet he will fill our mouth with laughing and our lips with rejoicing. You know, sometimes we ought to walk up and say, God, I need to laugh. Or you said in your word, your merry heart's good like medicine. Come on now. You said that destruction and famine laugh. So fill my mouth with laughter. And put singing on my lips in Jesus' name. And just begin to do a faith laugh, not a fake laugh, but a faith laugh. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. These are some of them. We gave you 10 last week, but these are just some, just to review. Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. That means the password into God's gate. We all know the in housing communities, subdevelopments, you know, subdivisions usually have some, a lot of them have gated communities. And there's a gate to get into God's community or presence. And the password is thanksgiving. What's the code to get in the gate, Lord? Thanksgiving. And go into his courts with what? Praise. So as you walk in through the gate, you turn from thanksgiving up to praise. Give him thanks to him and praise his name. Hallelujah. Come on, just do it right now. Let's give him thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that you're faithful to your word. Thank you, Father God, that we can enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, dear Father. Hallelujah. And we bless and we praise and give thanks to your holy name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So why are we to praise God? Get into the crux of what we're talking to you about now. Because there shouldn't be no one says, well, I don't know how or why or what to praise God. These are building blocks we're teaching. Psalms 33:1 says, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is what? Fitting for the pure to praise him. That's us. That's those that us that have been redeemed, that have been washed in the blood. Come on, been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Come on now, baptized, hallelujah, in the Holy Spirit. We are the pure ones that are to praise him. But he says this word, it is fitting. And fitting just means becoming. Now, again, one translation, the next verse I'm going to read, it says appropriate. So fitting equals becoming beautiful. So you're beautiful when you praise God. Now, you know what the opposite is. It starts with the same you that's ungodly. It's the most beautiful thing when you praise God. It's spiritually ugly when you don't. So fitting is becoming beautiful, comely, and appropriate. What's the appropriate thing to do in respect to our relationship with the Lord? It is to sing. It is to give praise to the Lord. We got to see this. We got to get a revelation of this. What's the most beautiful thing God loves and loves to enjoy in your life? That you proclaim praises to his name. Psalms 147 verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, how good to sing praises to our God. Is it bad? No, it's good. How delightful and how fitting. That means God enjoys it and you will get joy out of it. So the big reason why, let's get into some of the other reasons why, because this is answers, you know, why do churches sing? Why do people have praise and worship? Why are we supposed to do all this? Why are we here to praise God? Is that praise brings God into our environment. God doesn't have an ego problem so that he needs you to tell him how great or good he is. Jesus even said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. So he's saying, we don't need you to praise him. He's worthy of all praise, so creation will bring sing praises to him. And creation is singing praises to God. Because he's so worthy. He's so good. Praise God. But we think we're trying to manipulate God. God does not get manipulated because we praise him. He doesn't have an ego problem. Matter of fact, ego is can be two ways. From an acronym standpoint, ego, E-G-O, can mean you edge God out. that means you got a bad ego. Or you, on the good side, you can exalt God only. Because see, some people exalt themselves so much that they don't humble themselves to pray or to praise. Think about it for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Does God have a fit of depression so that he needs you to encourage him occasionally? Oh, I got to have a bad day. Can you give me a good word today? Does God have any emotional problems or mental illnesses? We even sing that song. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. And you're what? Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Hallelujah. So we're magnifying him. He's perfect in all his ways. So God and Jesus are the same, and they don't change. They're the same yesterday. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So the Lord is worthy to be praised. And genuine heartfelt praise and worship affects us. It affects us. God is the same all the time. But you and I are not. Can we agree to that? We can run into some folks today that chew on us like a buzzsaw. And we walking out spitting nails because we're mad. We're sad, or we're feeling really bad. But see, God doesn't go through those mood swings. That's the reason why you and I need the stability of God's unchanging presence to keep our world in balance. We need the stability of his unchanging presence to keep our world in balance. So when your world gets out of balance, you might look at your praise meter. See, our days go up and down. Can we say the truth here? Sometimes higher, sometimes lower. This is never true for God. You never engage with the Holy Spirit and him say, wait, I'm not ready to help you pray. I'm not ready to pray about that yet. I'm not ready to come alongside and help you with that. The Holy Spirit's always on, always up, always ready. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God, he's always up. Even the Holy Spirit's always on. Consequently, his presence in your day is quite important. And a really imperative to have with you throughout the day. Now, you remember in the beginning, Adam fell because God walked with him every day for what? In the cool of the garden. So he came into the presence of God every day. You know, we know the scripture that says, all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. See, it was original sin, but it was also original glory. Adam was clothed in the glory. That's the manifested presence of God. That means there was no disconnect. There was no chasm between him and God. He came into the very presence of God. That's what he lived from. That's what he lived out of. Well, when that got cut off because he sinned and fell from that, then God couldn't just walk in and visit him in the garden and fellowship with him. But Jesus got the way back into the presence of God back for us. That's why he calls us what? Through Peter's epistle, you are a what? A chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. That you are a peculiar people. That you would show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of that dark, dim, dull, and devastating place. And that could be the place that you're having that day. But he's called us out of that. He didn't call you to be depressed, discouraged, despondent, or in despair. He called you to be delivered from that, and he delivered you out of that so you can run into the presence of God. Come on now. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and find grace to help. There's no restrictions or limitations to going into God's presence. But the requirement is praise. Because he said, the Bible says in Psalms 22, he inhabits the what? If God's not wanting to hang around you, it's maybe you're not praising him. If you can't think back to the last time where I've been in his presence, then check your heart and check your praise habit. Amen. You need to praise God to stabilize your world, to keep your world in balance. That's the big reason why. All right? So his presence in your day is quite important and really an imperative to have with you throughout the day. Praise invites God to make your day. Praise invites God to make your day. Prayer is an invoker. Praise is an inviter. We invoke God through prayer. We invite God through praise. Now, how many of you want to have some good days in 2021? Well, look, we know the scripture. Many of us can quote it. Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day, what? The Lord has made. So what will we choose to do? We will rejoice and what? Be glad in it. Now notice the decision is ours. The decision is ours. You have to choose to rejoice because he said we will. Not we might. So some people get so busy or so bad. Remember, if the devil can't make you bad through sin and disobedience and rebellion, and offense, or he'll make you busy. So you get up, and the first thing you do is look at your phone, and you see all the text messages or the emails, and you start running around with your to-do list. So you're now subjected to somebody else's to-do list. Somebody else's agenda is running your world, or ruining your world, or rocking your world. Come on now. Our first thing is should be get up and say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And have a time of fellowship and praise session right there before you get moving. Amen. Well, Pastor, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to not usually carry my phone or check my phone. No, stop getting it. We have to talk to God. We have to get into the presence of God. The reason you pray and the reason you praise is to invite God into your world to make your day. In essence, no matter what's going on in your life, if you invite God into your day through praise, he will fill your life with himself. And like we said in that song I was singing earlier, you are perfect in all of your ways. I mean, you see all the imperfections and all the problems and all the pressures of your world, but he is perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Come on, he comes in and makes that whole thing look like pale in comparison to how beautiful he is, how big he is, how much better he is than what's bothering you that day. Then the words, make my day, it's not a slogan or a colloquial expression. They become more than a cute saying. They will fill your life with themselves. Then they become reality as God takes the threads of your life and weaves his tapestry. Praise also invites God to do more good things for you. So we said praise invites. So praise is an attractor, and it's an environment and attitude adjuster. Praise is an attractor and an environment adjuster, because you bring God in on the scenery of your life. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so praise enables and permits the Lord to go to work on your behalf. Why? Why do you need God? Because God, our glorious great Father, really enjoys showing us that he's even greater than what we've imagined. He loves it when we let him interfere and intervene in our earthly affairs. And he's more capable than what we've ever seen. So we said, well, do it again, God. Do it again. Do it again, God. Do it again, Lord. Hallelujah. And you just go, wow, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. See, I wonder if what it'd be like if we consistently attracted the manifest presence of God through praise. If we had praise sessions throughout the day. Now remember, we said David prayed three times a day. So that means we should be praying without ceasing. We should always be have that conduit or connectivity to God to always be pray on location. Pray instantly. Pray being instant in prayer. You're getting ready to get into some heavy traffic, you pray. You ought to be praying. You're taking a trip, you ought to be praying, Psalms 91. Come on now. You're getting ready to go to work or go to the office or go run an errand. You ought to be praying, but you also ought to be praising. Because the Bible says that David said seven times a day. Try to get seven fingers up. Seven times a day do I worship and praise and thank your name. Seven times a day. How many times did you do it today? Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. It says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely beyond that we might ask or think. Give him the church, glory to him in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, let's look at an example of our Father God specializing in the impossible. Because some people say, that spiritual stuff is okay, Pastor, but man, I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my bills. I got problems with my body. I got a jacked up family. Well, what do you think he was going through? Let's go look at it. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter, set the table. There were Joseph was the king of Judah. And, of course, they were outnumbered and outmatched by three armies. They were attacked by three armies, Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. Okay, so chapter 20, verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse number 24. And then I'll kind of give you some spots here to kind of make note. And it happened after that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. So they had three armies coming against. Then some came and told Joseph, I said, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Then Joseph had fear. That's the first thing he did. He said, I got to fear God before I fear anything else. In other words, I got to reverentially honor, stay in awe, and reverence God, the ways of God, before I get afraid of other things. And he set himself to do what? Seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. So here's the point I want to make right here at this point. There's no telling what is possible when God manifests and takes over. Amen. Now Joseph had knew this. Now it says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of the Lord. He was at the temple before the new court and said, O Lord, our God, God, our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kings of the nation? What is he doing? He's bragging on God. And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? He's bragging on God. He's boasting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land, his land, before your people Israel, and then gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? Now he's standing in the church. He's standing in the church house bragging on God. That's what we talked about the other time. This is when we get off of Sesame Street, when we get back to Azusa Street, we're not talking about us, our three favorite people, me, myself, and I. We're bragging and boasting on the Lord, on what the Lord has done. So here's 3 points you want to make from these scriptures so far we just read. Number one, Jehoshaphat turned to God for help. I got to get these things taken care of. I got to get out of this financial rat race or being behind. I got to get things settled in my family. I got to get things back into balance with my health and well-being. Could be physical or mental or emotional. He turned to God for help. Now, what do we should do? Turn to God for help. Number two, he proclaimed a fast, called the people together to do it. Everybody involved. Number three, he had a praise session in front of the temple. Then he praised God. He starts out with praise. He's bragging on God. Look at verse 8. And then dwell in it and built the sanctuary for you in your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, war, judgment, pestilence, and famine, we shall stand before the temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction. Cry out to you when? In our affliction. And you hear and save. And now here is the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from him and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession which you have given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude. That means we're outnumbered, we're outmatched. That coming against us, or nor do we know what to do. Anybody ever been in a situation, I don't know what to do? You don't know what to do. But he said, but our eyes are upon you. Now all of Judah and all the little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord, so they're waiting on the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benani, and the son of Jael, and the son of Mattani, the Levite, the son of Asaph, and the midst of the assembly. And all them, he said, listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Now, not the Lord spoke to you. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He says, gives them direction and timing. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. He's telling their battle strategy, what the enemy's trying to do. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Somebody said, glory to God. And then as Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, doing what? Worshiping the Lord. They got their word. Then they need to do some work of praise. And then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord and the God of Israel with loud voices and high. They stood up to praise. That's why it's always appropriate to stand when we have praise time. Hallelujah. That was one of the praise positions we talked about, how to do it last week. So they rose early in the morning, and they went out by the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper." Now, one translation, NIV, I think it says, have faith in the Lord your God. Have faith in his prophets. And you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And so they went out before the army saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, what a battle strategy. I'm glad he gave us the keys and principles of it. Because this is, write this down. Praise is the secret to the power of God. Praise is the secret to the power of God. Praise is what can be weaponized to bring the power of God on the scenery of your life. Now, when they had began to sing and praise. Now, they didn't sing for a long time. They just began to sing. Now, notice what happened in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas were in the room. He said when they prayed and sang, and when they began to sing, the earthquake came. God. Hallelujah. So they began to sing and praise the Lord. And the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who came up against Judah. And they were what? Defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Syria, they helped to destroy no one, one another. So they killed themselves. They got so panicked and paranoid that they were killing themselves. Their minds went temporarily insane for a moment. So when Judah and came to place looking over the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there was dead bodies fallen to the earth. No one had escaped. No one had escaped. How are you going to get out and shout God's victory in your life? You got to turn to God for help. Sometimes you may need to fast and pray and focus on that, hearing from God, and then have a praise session. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, these three things, right? These are praise, expectancy, and obedience. Praise, expectancy, and obedience. This was Jehoshaphat's response to the threat of war. What should you and I do? Praise, expectancy, and obedience. Do what the Lord tell you to do. See, praise is our God-given privilege and responsibility. Praise corporately invites and attracts God to make our church environment and our church experience marvelous, miraculous, manifest with his presence, power, and goodness, and memorable. You know, when God shows up to church and manifests and moves, we remember that. Because God never goes anywhere and nobody knows it. Amen. So here's some other big whys as we close. Y'all got something out of this tonight? Now, make sure you write that down. Praise, expectancy, and obedience. That was Jehoshaphat's response to the threat of war. You may be not in a military war, but you may be a war in your family. There may be a war with your finances. There may be a war of health issues attacking your body or mind or mental well-being. You know, where you can't sleep, where you can't rest. Amen. So here's some other big whys. Number one, praise him because you believe in him and want to praise him. Number two, praise him because you want to honor and obey him. You want to honor and obey him. Number three, praise him because you know you cannot live apart from him. Now, I know the world teaches us that we don't need anybody. Let's stay selfish, self-centered, self-serving, self-absorbed. That means you eliminate God. Remember, we said, you know, independence and isolation. Eliminate God from the equation of your life. And when you subtract God, our Father God, from the equation of your daily life, guess what the balance of that math adds up to be? You're in a deficit. You're going to face and experience defeat. When you eliminate God from the equation of your life, you are losing. You're not going to win. Amen. So you have to say, I got to praise him because I can't live apart from him. I need God to intervene. I need God to be invited to come in to the experience and the situations of my daily life. Number four, praise him because you need him every hour of the day to be really, truly triumphant. Number five, praise him because there are circumstances, there are events, and relationships in your life that you don't know how to handle properly. That's right. Without him. You know, the devil comes to deceive, but he also comes to distract, and he also causes things to disrupt in your life. So when he comes in to deceive, you know, one of the greatest, he deceives with sin, temptation to, and see, when you step into sin, you step away from God. We always say, like Kennedy, every step out of love is a step out of God. And it's a step out of the plan of God and purpose of God and the power of God and the presence of God for your life. And it's a step into sin. That's why when you sin, you got to get back to God in a hurry. When you step out of love, you got to get back to God in a hurry. You got to be quick to forgive, quick to repent. Praise God. Why? Because you need him. They used to sing that old gospel song, oh, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Amen. Hallelujah. Number five. Praise him because, number six, praise him because he has made promises to you that you have yet to be fulfilled. God, you promised. Number seven, you praise him because you're certain that he will be faithful to fulfill all that he has spoken to you. You said, Lord. You said, Lord. That's why you praise him for his faithfulness to his word. You praise him for his faithfulness to his word and his will for your life. His will is that that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Come on now. His will is for your healing and not for your disease and your devastation physically, emotionally, or mentally. Amen. You praise him. Amen. Because he wishes all to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So you say, I thank you that you're faithful to fulfill your promise in my life and in my family. Number eight, praise him because there is power in praise, and you want to tap every bit of that power. And then you praise him, number nine, because his ultimate goal is that you bask in his presence and you eat at his prepared table forever. You know, the psalmist says in Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means you at the table every day. Come on now. You eating at the table every day. Come on, just stand with me and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're basking in his presence every day.